Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and this is the episode for Friday, December 1st. Yes, it is December. It is the first of the month, so cash those checks. Get the rent money in. Do whatever you need to do on the first of the month because it is now December. Your Detroit Pistons are 14-6, and ladies and gentlemen, it is revenge weekend. The Pistons had Indiana and Milwaukee recently exact revenge on them last week for losses that the Pistons handed to them early on in the season, and those teams rebounded for victories against the Detroit Pistons. But now it's Detroit's chance to come up with a little bit of comeback against some of some old foes. It was the very early on in the season, I believe the second game of the year, that the Pistons lost on the road to the Washington Wizards, and they're going to have a chance to rectify that tonight on Friday night at 7 p.m. at the nation's capital in D.C. And then tomorrow night, a back-to-back effort against the Philadelphia 76ers. I was at the game in Detroit that Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and crew took down the Detroit Pistons, and the Stan Van Gundy's crew will have a chance at revenge at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday night. So a couple of entertaining games against a couple of fellow Eastern Conference playoff foes, you would think. And then the Pistons have even more tough sledding after that as they take on the San Antonio Spurs on Monday night, the Milwaukee Bucks on Wednesday, and then they're home for a couple of really strong teams. Of course, the Golden State Warriors, the prohibitive favorites for the NBA championship. They will be in town in Little Caesars Arena on Friday night in downtown Detroit, and then the Boston Celtics, maybe the East favorites right now, even though Detroit took them down the other night. The Boston Celtics have been all the rage of the NBA, and they'll be looking for some revenge of their own, as will Golden State. But the Brad Stevens and the Celtics will be coming in for a Sunday afternoon game a week from Sunday in downtown Detroit for 3 p.m. But don't worry, folks, it'll get a little bit easier after that. So the Pistons will have some targets on their back and some tough foes coming on the road and also coming to town to Detroit. So it should be some entertaining basketball over the next 8-9 days or so for the Pistons, no matter what happens. Their great start to the season has them 3 games behind Boston for the best record in the NBA and Eastern Conference, of course. They're in a virtual tie with Cleveland as the Cavs picked up, I believe, their 11th straight victory on Thursday night. So the Cavs are in a virtual tie with Detroit. They have, I believe, one more win and one more loss. So I guess percentage-wise, the Pistons are a little bit ahead of Cleveland. But for that Eastern Conference Central Division, really tight neck and neck with LeBron James and company. But today we'll be catching you up on all the news surrounding the Pistons, and we'll be looking ahead to that weekend slate, and I will tell you why I believe Detroit could continue this improbable 3-game winning streak with tough road games at Washington and Philadelphia. We'll be breaking down those matchups as well. But we got Draft.com and the Draft app coming up for Draft Wednesday. I've been telling you about it for weeks, and some of you have signed up, but some of you still have not. Get on there. Come play with Pistons fans. If you're friends of mine, if you're family members of mine and you're listening and you haven't done it yet, shame on you. But of course, all the listeners out there, we want you all to join in. Use promo code LOPISTONS and whatever money you load up into your account, we'll tack on $3 extra onto that, which will get you into the Locked On Pistons contest. To get into those private contests, you need to follow me on the app at Matt Shook, all one word, MATTSCHOCH. I will send you invites into those Wednesday drafts that we do. I put them together on Tuesday afternoons, and then we draft about an hour before the Wednesday slate starts. You don't have to be there and available on the app during the draft. You can just set it to an auto draft, and it's only a one-night thing. You don't have to set up the team for the schedule for weeks and weeks and weeks or anything like that. It's not for the rest of the season, but just a one-night deal. It's a fun draft. It takes under 10 minutes to draft the teams too. So a lot of fun. Check it out, draft.com, the draft app, promo code LOPISTONS. Email me if you got any questions, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. First of all, today I wanted to get into the all-Great Lakes State, the all-Michigan team that I had in yesterday's podcast. I knew I was going to forget someone, and I did. Listener Mike Smith got back to me on this. A buddy of mine said, Al Horford, of course Al Horford. How could he not be on there? He had him on his 5-man all-Michigan Great Lakes State team of players that were either born in Michigan, grew up in Michigan, or played their college ball at one of the Michigan colleges, whether it be Michigan, Michigan State, one of the MAC schools, UAD, Wayne State, Detroit, whoever it is, or Oakland University, whoever it is. But I forgot about Al Horford. He grew up in Grand Ledge. Played, of course, for Florida in his college years, but he's a Michigander through and through. So he, of course, should be in that starting five, as Mike pointed out. So I'm going to put Al Horford in my starting five, make a little amendment from the team I had yesterday. Put him in the starting five with Draymond Green and keep Gary Harris, Devin Booker, and Kyle Kuzma in the starting five. Going to bump Wilson Chandler of the Nuggets. Sorry, Wilson. Sorry, Benton Harbor. I know we got a lot of listeners in the Benton Harbor area. Apologize for that. But he'll be coming off the bench. He'll be one of the first guys coming off the bench. Now, who's coaching? I was thinking about that, too. I haven't really looked too far into that, but we got to find a good Detroit or Michigan coach. So after the break, maybe I'll take a look and find the best candidate of an up-and-coming coach, or maybe Dick Vitale from his Detroit Titans games could handle this. Of course, off the bench, we also have guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. of the University of Michigan, JaVale McGee, who was born in Flint, Tyler Ulis of Southfield, Jamal Crawford of the University of Michigan, and Denzel Valentine, a nice little glue guy from the Michigan State Spartans who plays for the Bulls now. Other news that has some Pistons ties involved. The other day, MLS, Major League Soccer, announced that Detroit is one of the four finalists, one of the four cities up for expansion for 2020. The other franchises that are up for those two expansion teams are Sacramento, Nashville, and Cincinnati. So on December 6th, Detroit officials will be giving a presentation in New York for the MLS brass. Now, the news lately on that was that Tom Gores and Dan Gilbert have been kind of in cahoots on this. There was the proposed jail site in downtown Detroit that was going to turn into a 23,000-seat stadium. Recently, it was announced that those plans are basically scrapped at this point, maybe temporarily, but they're not being put forward right now for the 2020 bid, and that the team would play in Ford Field. So the Ford family, who of course owns the Detroit Lions, jumped in, and now we've got billionaires all over the place in the Detroit bid, with Gilbert, who owns the Cavaliers, and Tom Gores, who owns the Pistons, and then the Fords as well. So all sorts of billionaires abound in this bid. So downtown Detroit could see soccer coming soon. Now, December 14th, they're going to be awarding the two franchises for 2020 for MLS. They're going to be ballooning up to 28 teams soon, if you add in an LA team and a Miami team as well. Arn Tellem of the Pistons, who was brought in by Tom Gores to handle projects such as these for the Palace Group, or for the private equity group that Tom Gores runs, he's kind of spearheading the effort right now. So he's, and we all know Arn Tellem could get things done. He's the former super agent. He puts his mind to it. He will be giving all effort and doing all he can to make it happen. However, MLS is also adding two teams for 2022. So if it doesn't go Detroit's way in the middle of December, they can look forward to possibly next year when the league will be adding more teams for 2 years down the road after that. Now, the Ford Field Stadium is not exactly something that MLS covets. They want those smaller soccer-specific stadiums that possibly could have been that jail site downtown. But now, the success that the Atlanta expansion team is having at the new Falcons Stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium down there, has kind of buoyed maybe the efforts of Ford Field and the old school way of putting those big soccer or those small soccer crowds into big football arenas. That might be beneficial for Detroit to look at that. However, Brian Strauss of Sports Illustrated detailed this week after those finalists were announced that Detroit, quote, feels like a distant fourth. So it sounds like the Detroit MLS dreams may not be coming true for the 2020 year coming up later, or I guess that's right, later this month, because it is December 1st now. So December 14th, it sounds like that possibly Nashville, Cincinnati, and Sacramento will be finishing ahead of Detroit and getting three of those cities might get two of the franchises instead. However, being a finalist probably suggests that Detroit, if it doesn't get the franchise for 2020, is probably in the driver's seat for one of those spots in 2022. So interesting to note that even though they may not get the nod here in a couple weeks, they may be kind of in the fast lane there for getting it done in 2022. We'll see if MLS kind of leans on those billionaires to get one of those soccer-specific stadiums ready instead of having the Lions' off-season home of Ford Field turn into a soccer facility in the off-season. However, Detroit has something going for them in this run that they have not had them going for them in the past. It doesn't sound like a very Detroit advantage that they have because they've got the deep pockets of all those owners, billionaires, the Fords, Dan Gilbert, Tom Gores. Those guys are on the Forbes list. Those guys have deep pockets to be reckoned with when these kind of decisions are made. And we all know that a lot of times it just comes down to the almighty dollar. Some of those other teams, or those other cities or bids, I should say, Sacramento, Nashville, Cincinnati, those have more proven fan bases, with apologies to the Detroit FC, stadium plans that are a little bit more robust and MLS friendly than what's going on in the Detroit bid. They have academies set up for their MLS teams. They have front office soccer infrastructure set up in terms of talent bases and people in place who are soccer specific people who can put things together, and successful USL lower tier clubs as well. With, again, apologies to Detroit City, a little bit lower of a level than some of the other proven franchises that teams like Cincinnati, Nashville, and Sacramento have. And some of those teams even have jersey sponsorships set up for several years as well. So another thing that Detroit hasn't had as of yet, although there's a little bit of time for those deep-pocketed owners to scramble for something like that going forward. And in more basketball news, something you're going to be hearing about and something you've probably already seen on Twitter throughout the season is there's another guy that the Pistons might regret not drafting. Donovan Mitchell, the little point guard from Louisville, is dominating for the Utah Jazz right now. He had 24 points and 6 assists for the Jazz on Thursday night in a win against the Los Angeles Clippers. He's getting about 15 points per game, and he's scoring more than we figured he would as a rookie. We knew going into the draft that he was a defensive ace, and it's surprising that he's playing so well offensively. Now, if it wasn't for a guy named Ben Simmons, who we're going to talk about a little bit later in the podcast, Donovan would be a candidate for Rookie of the Year right now. But the Pistons did not select him with the 12th pick. The Charlotte Hornets took Malik Monk out of Kentucky with the 11th pick, which took the best shooter off the board in the draft. And Stan Van Gundy went with Luke Kennard instead with the 12th pick instead of Donovan Mitchell, who a lot of prognosticators and mock drafters were saying the Pistons might be looking at 12. So Mitchell went 13 to the Jazz, and now he's putting up quite a season for the Utah Jazz so far this year. And keep in mind that this was 2 weeks before Avery Bradley was acquired by the Pistons from Boston. So it wasn't like Stan Van Gundy knew he had this great two-way guard already on the roster, although we probably will never know when that trade was formulated in his head between Danny Ainge and himself. So you can't blame him for coming through with Avery Bradley and adding him to the roster, because as we know, he's been such a great addition for the Detroit Pistons. But all is well. They're 14-6. They're playing really well. And now we're going into the nation's capital to take on the Washington Wizards. We're going to talk about them in a little bit here. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, and how could they not be, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% of them between the ages of 18 to 44. Wait a minute. I was doing this podcast to meet chicks, so apparently I'm in the wrong place. But if you want to reach men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable, so you can email me at matt_schoch@yahoo.com to find out more about that. Yes, sir! Well, the Pistons are going to be traveling to the East Coast this weekend, the Philadelphia 76ers on Saturday night. But first, the Washington Wizards on Friday night in the nation's capital of D.C. John Wall is out. He will not be playing. He has knee discomfort and inflammation, so they're doing some of the plasma treatment and whatever else you do with knees these days. He's been out for 4 of the last 6 games, and the Wizards are 1-3 in that stretch. So they are really struggling right now. They announced this past weekend that John Wall will be out for about 2 weeks, so he should be out for another week or so. And the Wizards are 11-10. They are kind of sliding right now. So the Pistons and Wizards going in different trajectories than earlier in the season, when the Wizards were riding high with a lot of expectations coming into the year, and the Pistons had a lot of question marks. Well, oh, how the tables have turned. So instead of John Wall, the Wizards will be starting Tim Frazier, a point guard out of Penn State. He's getting a lot of minutes, and if you're wondering who Tim Frazier is, well, you are not alone. Markieff Morris, who is the twin brother of former Piston Marcus Morris, he is back for the Washington Wizards. If you watch the Pistons play them in the first game of the season between the teams back about a month ago, Markieff was not there. He had some injuries early in the year and missed that first game. Well, he's back. He's playing well. They pushed Kelly Oubre to the bench, so he's been kind of a super sub for the Scotty Brooks and the Washington Wizards. The teams met, like I said, that first Friday night of the year, with the Wizards getting a 115-111 victory. And what was a little bit of a controversial ending to the game, the Pistons, if you remember, got hosed out of a couple of replays late in that one. So a pretty unsatisfying ending for the Pistons. But the Wizards, especially with the injury to John Wall, they're pretty thin on the bench. Vegas sees this one as an even game in the point spread. It's a pick 'em right now. The smart money's got to be on the Pistons, I got to believe, even though Washington gets that three-point boost for being at home. I got to believe that the start the Pistons have had has at least resonated a little bit with some of the sharps and some of the bookies in Vegas. But like I said, the Wizards, 11-10 right now. They've lost 5 out of 7. They've been away from home quite a bit lately, so they've been mostly on the road. And like I said, mostly without their best player, Bradley Beal's been having to step up a lot more with the scoring department. The youngster out of St. Louis is doing a pretty good job with that. He's getting over 23 points a game so far this season. They're playing, they had a back-to-back games on Tuesday and Wednesday. So they had Thursday off. They, like I said, had a little back-to-back. So 3 out of 4 days, they'll be their third game in 4 days after the back-to-back on Tuesday and Wednesday. And oh, we've got an old friend alert, as well as former Stan Van Gundy pickup and shooting guard Jody Meeks. Healthy, alive, and well, playing for the Wizards, coming off the bench. He's getting about 8 points per game for Scotty Brooks in about 17 minutes of reserve time. So you'll see him on Friday night, and we will see how he does against his former team, the Detroit Pistons. He had a bit of an unremarkable 2 seasons with Detroit, came off the bench for his first year and didn't really live up to expectations. In the second year, he was injured about 3 games into the season and missed the rest of the year. So an unfulfilled promise, as I believe he was Stan Van Gundy's first pickup for the Pistons as team president. He's getting 32% proficiency from three-point land. That was what he was brought to Detroit to do. But like I said, when you're looking at Donovan Mitchell, you're looking at players like Jody Meeks. If you're a Pistons fan, you got to be happy with the two-guard situation with Avery Bradley, although he is an impending free agent himself that will be due a big payday this offseason. And Luke Kennard showing some good signs in the minutes that he's been getting, the rookie out of Duke University, playing pretty well so far this year. But the Pistons will have a former friend as a foe on Friday night. Listen to all that alliteration. They say I'm just a newspaper guy. I can do it with the broadcasting as well. And then the Pistons will be heading to Philadelphia to take on Joel Embiid, possibly, and Ben Simmons and the 76ers on Saturday night. We talked a little bit earlier on in the show about the Thursday podcast I did where we had the all Great Lakes State, the best players in the NBA currently that were from Michigan, grew up in Michigan, or played their college ball in Michigan, and we were looking for a coach for it. Well, what better coach to have for that team than Tom Izzo? He was rumored to be flirting with NBA teams all over the years and instead stayed with the Michigan State Spartans. So we're going to give him a chance to coach some of his former players and some other strong talents as well with our fake team. So Tom Izzo, congratulations. You're the fake coach of the fake team that we put together here on the Locked On Pistons podcast on Thursday. You can go back and listen to that one if you want to be refreshed on what I'm talking about. Draymond and Tom Izzo reunited again. The love affair continues. Good for them. So the Pistons back in action after Friday night. Hopefully a win against the Washington Wizards. They're going to be playing the Philadelphia 76ers on Saturday in downtown Philly. 76ers are one of the nice stories of the NBA season along with the Pistons so far this year. 12-9 after a loss to the Boston Celtics on Thursday night. Joel Embiid got the rest and did not play against the Celtics, so they really weren't in that one much. They kept it kind of close score-wise, but it's the articles I'm reading. I didn't watch the game, but the articles I'm reading about that game indicated that Boston was pretty well in control throughout. But it sounds like Embiid was, like I said, just resting, so we should be ready to go on Saturday night at home. However, TJ McConnell, their backup point guard, he has a shoulder injury and his status is unknown. I would say he's probably not going to go. In the first pick of this year's draft, Markelle Fultz out of Washington, he's not going these days. He's out with a shoulder injury, so the Pistons won't have to worry about his potential for dynamic plays, which I kept an eye on. I was at the opener between these two teams at Little Caesars Arena. The 76ers were in town visiting and got the win against the Pistons. Wasn't too impressed with Markelle Fultz then, but we'll see how his career unfolds as time goes on. With those injuries that the 76ers have had, Nick Stauskas, the former Michigan Wolverine, he actually got a little run on Thursday night against Boston. Pretty rusty, though. He didn't really put up any stats in those 8 or 9 minutes that he played. So we'll see if he's able to shake off the rust and maybe get some shots up against the Pistons on Saturday night in Philly. So it'll be interesting to see if Brett Brown, coach of the 76ers, looks the way of Stauskas yet again as the former Wolverine tries to carve out a niche of his NBA career, which is still in its early stages. Ben Simmons of Australia, the LSU player who I've liked for a lot of years now, he's all the rage for the NBA right now. He will be the rookie of the year unless something unforeseen happens over the next few months. He's the runaway favorite for that award. He was the first pick of last year's draft and missed the whole season last year after breaking his foot in training camp. He's getting about 18 points a game right now, 9.5 rebounds, 7.2 assists. There's articles comparing him to LeBron James. There's talk about him being hands down the most valuable 76er going forward over Joel Embiid. I mean, the slobbering about this guy is out of control right now. A lot of it's deservedly so. I'm not making fun of people saying how good Ben Simmons is. He's a great player. So we'll see. There's been a little bit of hack-a-shack about his struggles with free throw shooting. And as far as three-point shooting, some of the blogs that cover the 76ers are getting a little defensive, saying that his jump shot's better than maybe some people are talking about. So we'll have a bird's eye look of that on Saturday night. I'm excited to watch this one, I got to admit. So it should be a good one, and hopefully you're tuned in wherever you're at on Saturday night as well. Andre Drummond kind of got worked by Joel Embiid in that first game at Little Caesars Arena as well. So you got to believe that the big man from the Pistons will be maybe circling this game on his calendar a little bit as his all-star, maybe starting candidacy or candidacy for to be a reserve for the Eastern Conference might be hinging on this one a little bit. As like I said, I was at that game. Joel Embiid, as cocky as ever, and you got to love it for the most part, unless he's going up against your team. He made some free throws late in that game, and a lot of the fans that were there, and it was pretty scarce, I got to admit, but a lot of the fans that were there at downtown Detroit's Little Caesars Arena, he kind of shooed them away. He knocked down a free throw, and a lot of fans were leaving because it was pretty much in the books at that point in the final minute or so. But he shunned everyone away in Little Caesars Arena and just kind of played to the crowd a little bit as kind of a wrestling heel. And it was pretty fun to see in a schadenfreude kind of way. So we'll see how Andre Drummond and the rest of the Pistons kind of react to that disrespect that the young guys showed them early on. And there's nothing wrong with it. Could be a nice little rivalry. Could be fun. Maybe a playoff series possibly in the first round as well. And Jahlil Okafor has only played 3 games. The Duke big man who was a couple of years into his career. He's having all sorts of front office issues with the team. He's not playing at all right now. And some of the NBA players on Twitter are coming to his defense saying, free Ja on Twitter. Jason Tatum of the Celtics was one of them. And I believe Devin Booker of the former Kentucky player from Phoenix, he's another one of them too that's kind of been in the corner of Jahlil Okafor to get traded sometime soon. So he can be had. So it's possible that officials from the Pistons or 76ers could be talking sometime soon about Jahlil Okafor, because I know a certain team from Detroit that could use some help in terms of their backup center situation. Although, like I say, it's kind of hard. You got to find the right type of guys that could play for Stan Van Gundy. And I wonder if an offensive-specific player who's well-documented struggles on defense, I wonder how that would fly with the Detroit Pistons. I think this is a team that's forged a specific identity, and if you're looking at players to fill out the roster, whether it's the trade market or any other way that you could get players these days, I think the defense might be the first thing that you might have to look at when thinking about if Stan Van Gundy will give up some assets to pick up players like that. So my guess is no, but I know a lot of fans are out there obsessed with how Okafor can score offensively, especially in some of those old school low post moves that have long been forgotten by the NBA game as time has gone on. But like I said, draft.com, the draft app, I don't know if you're still out there and you haven't downloaded the app, you haven't set up an account and use promo code LOPistons. I don't know what to tell you at this point other than you're behind and you got to catch up, because you're probably going to be surprised about how fast those drafts go. You might get caught off guard for week one. So you might want to get that easy one in first and be ready for draft Wednesday and week two, because we're doing it every Wednesday. So follow me on the app at Matt Shook, one word there, Matt, S-C-H-O-C-H. I will invite you to our special, private, exclusive Locked on Pistons drafts that we do. But we will be back on Monday after a big weekend of Pistons basketball in Washington against the Wizards, in Philadelphia against the 76ers. Maybe some possible playoff previews with these ones. So important games to watch as the Pistons continue to roll on 14-6 so far this year. Monday we'll be talking about those games and looking ahead to the San Antonio Spurs, as the schedule does not get any softer for Stan Van Gundy's group. So thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great weekend.